This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show from Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping and Florist. Here's the Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winters, and the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Well, good afternoon there, my friend. How you doing?
Well, pretty good. Enjoying the fall spring that we're having out there.
50 degrees, it says, eh?
In my truck said 52 or 50.
Oh, did it?
Yeah. When I was driving in. And the sun was really beaming there in Winston, you know, just woo.
Oh, that feels good on them old bones.
Yeah, it does. But, you know, you get one of these premature fall springs and things start to, the plants, they don't have calendars. And so consequently, they go, wow, yeah, it's spring's here. Let's start pushing new growth and flowers. And all of a sudden you get 2 feet of snow.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of
confuses them.
Yeah, it kind of puts the kibosh on spring, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, geez, yeah. Well, thank you for listening today. I hope you get something out of what I say, and I hope it helps you. That's the name of the game here for me. What can I do to make your yard prettier, easier to maintain, tell you about plant materials and things you can plant and little hints and things that you can do to improve your landscape and maybe cut down on your work and give you a beautiful yard all at the same time. So that's the purpose of this show. And if you've never tuned in before, you can ask questions. All you have to do is call 673-4464, and we'll get you on the air. You can ask your question. I will give you the correct answer most of the time, you know, probably 99.9. But anyway, we have fun, and we'll just try to, you know, every week I try to think of new topics to discuss that are pertinent to the weather we're having or the season we're in. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's so much you can talk about, but I try to keep, you know, you can get kind of way out there and talk about a lot of scientific type things that would happen with plants and things like that, but that doesn't make a lot of sense to a lot of people.
No, nope.
They want some practical information. What can I do in my yard?
Just get to the nitty gritty
tomorrow. Yeah. You know, I don't want to have to read a plant encyclopedia to figure out how to do something.
Phase one, phase two.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And phase nine, and you're going. So I try to keep it as simple and as interesting and as practical as can be. And again, questions are welcome, 673-4464. So anyway, I got this kind of broken down into a couple of different pieces here today and tell you about some of my adventures here in landscape world. You know, I get calls from homeowners that have older established landscapings, or they have a brand new home with a bare yard except soil, and they're wondering, what in the world do I do, and how do I do it, and where do I start?
Yeah.
And what's really fun, well, that's the easy one, because it's a bare plate, and you can say, well, you can do this, and this, and this, and they're thankful that you told them this information and how to do it. And the other side of that coin is the older established landscapes that have been in for 20
like
years
Laurelwood.
Or 30 years, and the things are overgrown
and over the
top of the house, and they never obviously have pruned anything because they were afraid to or something like that.
You have experience with that?
I have a little bit of experience with that, yes. I've pruned only probably 10 or 15,000 items in my career, probably more than that, actually.
But, probably.
Yeah, I would say so. But the older established landscapes that are way overgrown, you know, they'll have too many plants too close together. That's because whoever planted them, you know, 20, 30 years ago thought, oh, look at this cute little rhododendron. I'll just put it right 2 feet away from this other cute little rhododendron because, you know, they're just little small things and I wanted to make it look good. And now they're, you know, 8 feet tall and strangling and rubbing the paint off the house, you know.
And fighting to exist.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, when you first look at it and the homeowner looks at it, it looks just like an impossible task and they don't know where or how to start. What do I do with this mess? I can't just tear it out. Yes, you can. But you got to do it judiciously, okay, so that you don't totally wreck your landscape. But my first challenge, of course, in this operation is to, and this is called a landscape consultation. People call and say, I want a consultation, and there's a fee for that. And I go, and we walk around, we talk, and that's basically what I'm going to share with you today.
Okay.
But my first challenge is to advise them of what could be removed and still have an attractive yard, what can be pruned and come back and look good. And I've learned over the years, you've got to kind of create a verbal landscape for the clients as you walk around the yard so they can get that picture in their head. And even maybe have a pair of pruners in my pocket to where I say, well, see, this particular plant, you could do this, this, and this, and this. And I go, oh, my gosh, I didn't know you could do that.
Yeah.
Well, is it okay? Yeah, it'd be fine. Trust me, honest. If it isn't,
I'll
buy you a new one, okay? I'll give you a new one.
Can't beat that deal.
No, you can't. You can't. But when the client, you know, and this is no fault of the person themselves. It's just that there's so many... you know, plants are different than a lot of, you know, computers and cars and, you know, and all the other kinds of things we have in our life. You know, plants are natural. They're living and you don't want to destroy them and you want to make them pretty. But you, like I say, there's some little work that you have to do. So very simply, we walk around and walk through the yard and I point out the obvious mistakes and show them basically how to transpose the overgrown place to a landscape that's manageable. Mm. You know, once you do this, this, and this, and I'll make them a list or whatever they need.
Yeah.
And then when you do that, then you've got something that you can actually manage. And if you get out here once or twice a year and just kind of do some light pruning and all that, you don't have to do the hack job that I'm telling you about right now. Because some of the stuff, I mean, and I've told the story about the old first house I bought was, you know, there was roses growing over the roof, you know, climbing roses and other things that we just hacked them and pulled the stumps for crying out loud and started over.
And they grew back some, didn't they?
Some of them did, yeah. And you go, wow, I cut that to the ground. And it went, yeah, thank you. And it came back thicker, fuller, and nicer, and more healthy. I said, whoa, yeah, I really hurt that one, didn't I? Yeah.
Thanks for the renewed life.
Yeah. But anyway, as we're talking, I try to keep it very simple and understandable so they can get an idea of what the end result's going to be. And it's just, you know, communication, and since I've done it for 48 years, I can tell, and they have questions, you know, do you understand, I'll say, do you understand what I just said, do you get the scope of that pruning, oh yeah, okay, or no, I got to give them a little bit more information, well, that's good, that's what I'm there for, is to give them the information. And try to get them to be able to visualize the end result before they even start. So if you got a 6-foot rose bush, and it's 4 feet wide, and it's crowding other plants, and they say, well, it's not blooming very well anymore because there's only roses on top, and the stems below that look kind of dead because there's no leaves, no vegetation at all. And I said, well, that's because all the energy is going to flower production, what little there is, and then the leaves are up there because that's the only place it can grow. It's the only place it's getting any sun. All this other wood is just kind of holding it up. That's all. There's nothing else. And this is how you whack it. And I'll show them. And they go from like a 6-foot or 7-foot rose to a 3-foot rose or a 2-foot rose. And blink and look at me like I'm crazy. And no, I'm not. It's okay. And they soon see within a month or two, depending on the time of the year, that all these new buds are coming out on those dead-looking stems that I left for them. And then when it begins to fill in, they're amazed at how many roses actually come on, how many blooms actually come on, and how beautiful it is. And once you get people to that point, then they're not afraid to tackle the yard, hey, it worked for that one rose. It'll work for everything else, and not everything, of course, is pruned the same way. You know, and that's what I try to explain to them. And especially if they've got a specimen plant in a maybe an entryway location or something that's, you know, by the curb, but it's maybe a Japanese maple that's way overgrown. I show them how to reduce it in size. I show them how to thin out some of the branches that are extra branches, if you will. And the extra branches are usually the little skinny ones that don't do anything. Do we have a call?
Yeah, we do.
Okay, I have a call.
Hey, you're on the air with Mike Winters.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Hey, I have a question about my kids bought a house, and there's this beautiful sequoia tree, but it has like multiple, maybe 10 suckers coming from it that are like 5 feet.
Uh-huh.
Is there any way that we can cut those suckers from the bottom and maybe root them somehow and save them?
Well, you can cut them for sure. That's not a problem. And you cut them as close to the ground as you can. But you may be able to generate roots from the, like the top, the top 10% of the stem, where it's
top 10%.
Yeah,
okay.
Because the old wood, and if it's old and thick, you know, 2 inches in diameter or 3 inches in diameter at the base.
Yeah, neglected tree.
That's not going to root. But the stuff that's the stem that's like as big as a pencil or something like that, those would have a potential to root, and you would get a rooting hormone. And then you cut the end with at a 45-degree angle, and you dip it in the rooting hormone, and then you put it in sand or potting soil in a warm warm location, not a hot, but a warm location, and keep it damp, and for the most part, it should root out.
Nice.
Pardon me?
Well, I will definitely give that a try.
Yeah.
We have to cut them. I mean, we need to cut all the suckers from the tree, but I
did
thought
that,
if I could root them.
I did that last 2 weeks ago at my place. I got a redwood that had suckers that were, 4 inches, 5 inches
wow.
in diameter at the base, all the way around the bottom of the tree. It looked like a shrub, and the tree is about 100 feet tall.
right. Okay.
Yeah.
And then I had one more question. I try to do butterfly flower beds, and I bought a nine bark, and I planted it, and it's getting huge.
Huge,
yeah,
huh?
And I don't know much about it. How tall do they get?
You know, it varies upon where it's located and the soil conditions. I'm not sure what the ultimate height would be. I don't know. How tall would you say it is right now?
Right now it's about almost 6 feet tall, and it's only been in the ground. I planted it when it was like 2 feet, and it has just grown like crazy. And I thought I might dig it out, but I don't even know how to take care of it. I guess I could Google it. But
well, you
I bought
could...
it at the Butterfly Pavilion, and they recommended that we, you know, do more native planting. So,
Well, you can prune the top of it out. You can round it out to say 3 feet and see what happens. Do an experiment.
Okay.
It won't hurt it. It won't die. Trust me.
Okay. Good to know. Thank you, Mike.
Hey, well, thank you for the call. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right. Sounds like a good time to take a break, huh?
Okay.
All righty. We'll be right back. Couple of minutes here on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240, KQEN.
Obviously, we're back.
We are back, and and I was talking about consultations that I give to my clients that are at a loss of what do I do for my yard? What are you pointing at?
We got a phone call.
Already?
Yeah, right gracious. Off the bat here.
Uh-oh.
Gotta love it.
All right.
Well, good afternoon. You're on the air with Mike Winters.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hey, I'm going to switch gears on you a little bit.
Okay.
I have a lawn that needs to be thatched.
Mm-hmm.
I've done a pretty good job, you know, weed control and all that, and I mow it regularly. It looks beautiful right now,
yeah.
But when I go out there and I walk across it, it feels like it's 4 inches deep with thatch.
Yeah.
And the question is, when I mow, I got to mow it down to nubbins, but then when I go even lower than that, I get into the thatch, and I'm not really quite sure what I need to do. I'm going to have somebody come in and thatch it for me, but what do I need to do in preparation?
Well, there's not much you can do in preparation. First of all, it has to be drier than it is right now because that thatch will trap any moisture in there. So if you went in there with a piece of machinery, you would do a lot of destruction that wasn't necessary. So it's good to do it like in April, May, that type of that time of year. And you can rent a thatcher, or you, like you say, you can hire somebody that does that. And the thatching machine goes through and just combs out all the dead stuff. What it is just a buildup of dead grass over the years. And and what that does, it improves what's left. Because then you can get oxygen to the root systems, and after we thatch, we all always aerate. That's just pulling plugs of soil out, and then we fertilize with a good lawn food, and you begin the watering process, and pretty soon, within, oh, say, 7 to 10 days, you can see almost a brand new lawn coming up. And you should thatch probably anytime you walk across a lawn and it feels like it's bouncing and stuff. Yeah, you got thatch. You got it big time.
Yeah,
and,
definitely.
And that's your indicator. When you feel that, go ahead and get the job done. And the thing is, when you're mowing, when you've reestablished the lawn, when you're mowing, don't mow it real short. Keep it up a couple of clicks or a couple of notches from what you normally do. It might look a little shaggy, but not bad, but it'll stay greener, and it will be a whole lot healthier for you, and there won't be so much of a thatch buildup. But it's really important not to just cut the grass and leave it, because that's what happens. That turns into thatch. So if you got a mower that sucks it up, you know, continue to do that. But don't mow it real low. Don't try to scalp it once it's rejuvenated, okay?
Got it. Okay, thank you very much.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you for the call.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
All righty, that opens up the line.
Yeah. All right. So back to the consultation process. And
yes,
as I said in the earlier segment, I walk around with the client, and they ask questions. I show them what to do, tell them why it happens, so they have some understanding of what the process is in plants, because not every plant responds the same way. So there's many different things, but some of the generalities are the same throughout. And once they get that, they can get an idea of what the end result will be when they begin to attack that kind of work. And they'll see the difference that all makes, and give them probably an incentive to keep on top of it. Because what happens when, and most people, not most, but a lot of people are just afraid to cut a plant, thinking they're going to kill it. It's like if you cut your fingernails, it doesn't hurt you. You don't die. Your fingers don't die, and they just grow back.
Mm.
I mean, it's the same way with plants. I mean, you can destroy it if you cut it to the ground, I suppose. But, you know, that's not the point.
The dad method.
And the thing is, what you want to do, and I try to stress this with the homeowner, you want to visualize what the end result will look like before you start. In other words, if you've got a 6-foot plant but you only want it to be 3 feet, take a look at it and just visualize what will that look like at 3 feet. And that will give you an indication of what branches to cut, how to cut them. Should I round it off? Should I flat top it? You know, that doesn't really matter. It's just whatever style you might like. Mm-hmm. And it depends on the type of plant that it is. And once the homeowner understands that process, then it's a whole lot easier. Say, I'm not going to hurt it if I cut 3 feet off of it and leave 4 feet or leave 3 feet. It's just going to fill in and get better and bloom and look good.
Do its own thing.
Exactly. And then when it grows that year, that spring and summer, you can see how much it grew. Did it grow 10 inches? Did it grow a foot and a half? And then that keys you into next year. I need to prune it again in the fall or even in late summer, but I don't have to prune it as drastically. I can just take about, if it grew 12 inches, I just take 6 inches off. Or if it grew a foot, I take maybe 3 inches off. Depends on the plant. And it's just once the homeowner understands what the final look is going to be and mm-hmm. what they want, then they can do it themselves. It's not hard. It's just actually going out and doing it.
And knowing how to do it.
And yeah, have the basic knowledge and then trying a few. And like I say, I'll demonstrate while I'm there, and you can do this, this, and this, and cut this that way, and then you cut that way. And there's some plants, like flowering plants, you can cut them in the winter if you like, but a lot of flowering plants, you let them flower in the spring, and when the flowering is done, that's when the new growth begins to grow. Well, as soon as the flowering process is done, you can prune it then, and new growth will still come, but you enjoy the flowers first and let them do their thing, and then before it gets totally out of whack with new growth, go ahead and prune it. Go ahead and thin it. You can thin if there's multiple branches or multiple stems coming from the bottom from the root system. Maybe there's 40 different stems in there and are all crowded together. Well, take about half of those out. Just cut them right down at the ground level so it has some air circulation throughout the plant. That keeps any disease, bugs, fungus, and all that from making their home there. And the more healthy you leave that plant, the better it's going to do over the long run. Mm-hmm. That's the way it is. And I asked the client too, what they expect the landscape to look like. What is the end result? What are they trying to achieve? And ask them questions like, if you have children at home, you got room for a play area? Do you want to take out some of this stuff and put a play area in there, or do you want to put a swing, a slide, that kind of thing? And give them other ideas for what their yard, their backyard, front yard, whatever it is, what they could do and how they could enhance that. If they don't have any children, not a problem. They just cut and whack and do that and just keep everything manageable.
Yeah.
That's what you want to do.
Otherwise,
they're going to keep growing and growing and growing, and then there's going to be a lot of dead material at the base and in the interior branches because all the growth is at the top. All the growth is where the sun is, and so if you want it smaller, you got to just whack it back. As I told my rose story, a few times, this ugly rose hedge I had way back when I didn't know much about roses or anything. It was 6 feet, 7 feet tall, flopping around, multiple branches, and it would bloom, and the blooms were so heavy, the rose would just kind of unfold, the weight would take, and it was ugly. So one day in August, I got mad. I went out there with my chainsaw, and I cut that sucker to the ground. Boom, boom, hauled the junk to the dump. And I thought, good, I'll put something else in there.
Yeah.
Well, within a month and a half, there was new shoots coming up from what I cut. I mean, I cut it at ground level. And I thought, oh, man. But they came up green. They came up healthy. Yeah. They came up lush. It was beautiful. And that was like, say, October. By November, they were in full bloom. They were the roses were back up to, say, about 18 inches tall. And they were in full bloom. And they had so many blooms. It was so pretty. It bloomed clear through Christmas. And then I went, huh, I just learned something. Yeah, you can't, number one, you can't hurt these puppies. Number two, if you cut them, they fill in better. They look better. They're healthier, and they bloom longer.
And it doesn't take very long.
And it didn't take very long, especially if you got a chainsaw.
Chainsaw Mike.
Yeah, but I don't recommend you go out and do that right now in your yard. But yeah, but I did that just because I was mad and I wanted to get rid of them. But it turned out to be really a beautiful rose hedge once I learned how to take care of it. And that means you cut it, you do it, and don't sweat the small stuff.
Not necessarily with a chainsaw.
No, no, you should probably use pruning shears or something like that. But if the older, overgrown yard has all this stuff, you can eliminate some of that older shrubs and install new plants that will stay small or grow very slowly. Give them some space. Your plants don't have to be touching each other. In fact, a plant kind of all by itself, you can see the plant better. It looks better. If it's all grown together, you just got this massive greenery or massive, you know, in some cases that's good if it's a hedge out on the edge of the yard. But if we're talking foundation plantings or something that's in a raised planter or something like that, you want to give it some space so that it can really look and do its best.
It doesn't have to be touchy-feely.
No touchy-feely air in the plants, right? So, and like I say, blooming plants will come back super, super good and have more blooms, better blooms, and longer blooms because you did do the pruning on that.
So that Easter lily I was telling you about off air, will it start blooming better this year? Then?
Oh, probably will.
Probably.
I mean, when did you take all the old leaves off?
Just a couple of days ago.
And already there's new growth coming?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, see, the energy of the plant was going to those leaves, trying to keep them alive. But if the leaves were on the way out, it was just kind of spinning its wheels. But since you eliminated them, the energy refocused itself into new growth, and boom, that's where the new growth came
it's
from.
It's a lot greener, and it looks...
Yeah, now keep it that way.
Yeah. And on that note, let's take a break.
Okay. We'll be back
in a couple of minutes with more of Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show right here, News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Well, welcome back.
Well, thank you for welcoming me back. I didn't go anywhere. I've just been sitting in this chair.
And we solved all of the world's problems.
Yeah, but that's another show, right?
Right.
Anyway, I'm talking about consulting with older landscapes and new landscapes and things like that. And, you know, and the hard part, one of the harder parts of telling people, well, you got to get rid of 50% of your plant materials because they're too close and they're dying because of lack of space or lack of root growth or lack of this, and you know, and to convince them that that's the way it ought to go if they want to improve their landscape is a challenge. But once you break through it and give them, you can tell them, well, why don't you go to such and such a place? Go to the park over here down the road and see how those plantings are, or go to one of the businesses and look at the brand new that they've got plants in there. Look at and see how the different plants are and how far apart they're planted. You know, give them things that they can visualize, and you know, there's a lot of understanding that happens out of that. And then maybe their vision is for their own yard is maybe a whole lot less plants with a lot of bark mulch and maybe a small lawn, and you know, and they want to change the whole complexion of the yard. So then I can tell them, well, this is where the lawn would do best. This is probably the size you'd want, and this is what you do with your plant beds, and you know, the type of mulch, where to get the mulch. Mm-hmm. Give them all that information, because these are the folks usually 90% of the time, I guess, that are into doing the work themselves. And so I well, you go here and rent this, or you, like I say here on the radio show, if you want mulch, you can go to the co-op out there in Wilbur, or you can go to Magnolia Farms. If you need a mower, this is just one of the two best places you can go to get a good mower that works. And that's kind of what you have to do in this consultation. And like I say, if they want a lawn, well, these are the steps to do that. This is what you have to do first. This is what, like the guy that called on the thatch. This is what you have to do first, and explain the process and the steps that they have to go through to achieve what they're going to do. And you know, and what is really interesting is, and all these people I meet, is the wide range of ideas that the client will have. Well, how about if I did this, or how about if I did that, or could I get one of these? And so they've been thinking about it, and you know, I said, well, if you want that, you're going to have to eliminate this, or if you want to achieve that, this is what you have to do to achieve that. And you know, a lot of them take notes, and I don't know, maybe some of them may record me. I'm not sure. for instance, right now I have a client that has a lot of lawn. I mean, lots of lawn. And he wants to remove about 50% of it.
Wow.
And build mounds, large mounds along his back fence. And he wants to plant plants and trees and things like that for a privacy screen.
Mm.
But his lawn, I forget how many square feet it was. I think it was like 6,000 feet of lawn. Very large backyard.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Yeah, it was a big one. and he wants to eliminate about a third of that. So, and I've got to give him a bid and an estimate here in the future of taking out that lawn. And we're going to have to bring in maybe 50, 60 yards of topsoil to build these mounds out of, because he wants them fairly large. And he wants them to put some nice sized trees in it and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's to put the... Well, he's got one back gate, and I'm thinking, I can't get a dump truck through there. So it's one of those things where you got to dump the soil outside the gate and use our small machine to get the material
forth.
In, which is a very long, drawn-out.
But it can be done.
It can be done. And so after two meetings with him, now I have a challenge of designing that look. And I kind of started it. I got it in my head. But now I'm going to draw it up for him so that he can actually see how many trees, how many shrubs, you know, what location, that kind of thing. And he says, I'm just tired of this lawn. You know, I just don't want to do that. So,
well, when in doubt, plant rose bushes.
Yeah, plant a rose hedge and see what happens. Oh, golly. But one of the real challenges of this particular project is the existing sprinkler system was designed for lawn. So that means we have to somehow jury-rig this sprinkler system so that the lawn zones don't hit the shrubs, because that would be way too much water. And my brother and I were trying to figure it out, and it comes down to, we're probably going to have to tear out the whole system and put a brand new system in
there. Start all over.
I hope not. I don't want to.
If we can
figure out a way to adapt to what's there, it'll be so much easier than tearing up the whole place.
And less expensive, I would assume.
Very expensive, yes. So, but... like I say, you got mounds and everything, but there's a lawn head, and they're big heads, so they put out a lot of water.
Yeah.
Well, if they're watering these mounds with the shrubs and the trees in them, they're going to drown because the lawn needs more water. The mounds need less water. So, you know,
you got to compromise.
Yeah,
somewhere.
we got to do something there to you know, come up with. A plan that will actually work. And I've spent, like I said, we've spent several hours with him. Nice guy, great guy. He's open to whatever we say. And I haven't given him the estimate yet, but we'll see what happens. I was thinking, do we want to do this?
Yeah.
I mean, we'll be here for a month, for crying out loud.
I wonder if he listens.
But he's a pretty reasonable guy.
Nice.
But, you know, The bottom line advice I can give to people buying a new home is a whole different thing. You know, they got a blank yard. Mm-hmm. There's nothing there but soil, dirt, or maybe a few weeds and all that.
And you put the sprinkler system wherever.
Wherever you put the, you design the job where the plant beds are going to be or where the lawn might be, and then you design the sprinkler system to be appropriate for each of those areas.
Yeah.
That's the easy one. Because so many homeowners, you know, maybe they're first-time homeowners, and all of a sudden they got a front yard and a backyard with nothing but, like I say, soil.
Yeah.
It's just dirt. And, you know, what do we do to this? How do we make it pretty? What do we, do we need trees? Do we need shade? Yeah, you need some shade. You can get a good workable landscape plan and to look and let them look at it and explain it to them. And a lot of those folks I invite to the nursery because they don't know most of what I'm, the plants that I'm talking about.
Oh, sure.
And I say an abelia or a photinia or, a weeping fig or something like that.
I wouldn't know what you were talking
about. Right, and they got a blank look on their face. I said, but everything I design it, and I say, everything I'm designed here, I have at the nursery. Come to the nursery.
Mm-hmm. Check it out.
And we can look at them.
Yeah.
And if you don't like them, we can switch them. If you like them, good. We're good to go. And I've got several landscaped areas at the nursery that they can see how big a certain tree gets or how large a shrub will be, a rhodie or a ground cover or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then they begin to visualize. They take that vision back to their yard, and then they can start to see how their yard will shape up.
Yeah,
that's. And I found that to be one, probably the most productive way to plan landscapes. Show them plants, show them style, show them technique, and until the light bulb goes on and they start nodding their head, yes. Yeah, I get that.
I know.
And the other thing is, if you're in a neighborhood and you really don't, you don't know. You walk around the neighborhood. Look at what other people have done, and if you see one a yard that you do, hey, that looks good.
Yeah.
And the guy or the wife is out mowing the lawn. Say, hey, what's that? How did you do this? And most homeowners will engage in that conversation, and the new person that's trying to do his yard. We'll get some ideas of, that I see what that plant does. I see what color those leaves are. I see how much that one blooms. And that begins to give them a mental picture of what they can do at their own
what
backyard.
Works and what doesn't.
Exactly.
And where at.
Exactly. And the more you can educate people in that process, the better the end result is for their own.
Sure.
Home. Yeah. And I don't know why car dealers can't do that when I go to buy a new truck or something, and they tell me this and this and this and this computer does this. Wait a minute, I don't know this computer stuff. Just tell me how to start it.
That's right. It's like a cell phone when you go to get a new cell phone. I don't need all that stuff.
I don't. I got a flip phone.
Me too.
And I can't figure out what's on the flip phone for crying out loud. So, but I'm not interested in what's in that either. Oh, gosh. But and if all else fails, like I say, that's what people like me are for. Hire us. We'll walk you through the process, tell you what to do and how to get it, and put your project together for you. It's real simple. And if a person is say buying a home to sell, as an investment, say in 3 to 5 years, a plan is really essential. You want to have a plan for a quick sale. Because if a person is buying a forever home to raise a family in a, a different type of landscape plan is necessary. So one would be less expensive just to doll up the place so it turns quickly. The other one is, we're going to live here forever, raise our kids here until they move away. And so we want a family type yard that the kids can play in, bring their friends over, have barbecues in, put the plastic swimming pool out there, that kind of thing.
Right. Long term, short term.
Right. And there's like two different styles. I mean, right there. Do we have a break?
We have a break.
A break, oh gosh.
Last one of the day here.
That's it? We're going to continue this next week, I can tell you that.
All right. We'll be right back. News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Well, the tech guy to the dirt guy.
Well, yeah, here we are. And today I've been talking about the different types of styles of consultations, landscapes, and age groups and people, and trying to educate and familiarize folks with what plants do, how they grow, how much they grow, not, so as not to put them too close together, and you know, make their whole landscape a little bit better. And you know, and I spoke in the last segment about new home buyers with bare lots that maybe want to do a quick investment kind of thing and sell it in 3 to 5 years, and what type of landscape they might want. And then my next topic of conversation is like a retired couple. Well, I find that they will more than likely want a landscape that is less work because they've already done all the work they want to do, and can be left alone for a few weeks at a time as they travel around the country. So those are an easy landscape design to do. So plant selection, of course, is very important for the long run, and maintenance of the landscape is a big consideration. Whether you do it yourself or hire a professional to take care of your yards. So long-term planning is vital in any case, whether you're a new family, in the middle of your family life with teenagers, or a retired couple. There's all these different styles and needs for the different age groups that they can handle. If you've got a couple of teenagers and you've got a pretty good size yard, hey, they can do the mowing, the edging, the trimming, and stuff like that. All you got to do is teach them how and say, no, you can't go there until you mow the lawn, you know, that kind of thing. And the blank yard is, like I said earlier, is easy to do because it's brand new. It's a brand new pallet. I mean, just here it is, and we just put this in and that in. And for the first, I would say 2 to 3 years, the maintenance is fairly easy. And the new homeowner will get used to how things are growing, how to prune, how to mow, how to fertilize, you know, what this needs with this time of year, what that needs this and another time of year. And they kind of grow with the landscape, so that when they do put it up for sale, the new buyer comes in and says, yeah, blah, 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 blah. And they can tell them all about the yard and why they did it that way, and why it's so attractive, because they listen to Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show. I'm just kidding there. But like I say, maintenance is in a landscape is a big consideration, exactly. And if you can do it yourself, more power to you. If you can't, if it's too large or you don't have the equipment to do it, you know, there are professionals that will take care of it for you. But the bottom line, long-term planning is vital in any case. You need to know how things are going to grow. How large are they going to get? What are their watering needs? What are their fertilizing needs? What are their pruning needs? Those are all viable things. And, you know, your home, you know, is your biggest life investment. So you don't want to create a monster yard that will be a burden to you in the future. And if you do it yourself, go slow, plant minimally. Remember, you can always add to your landscape over a long period of time, and it's so much easier to add. In other words, if you had a planting bed in your front entry that's, say, 20 feet long and 4 feet wide, you don't have to fill it up with 16 plants. You can get five nice shrubs, space them out at 4 feet apart, and you've got lots of room. And if you want, and you say, well, that's nice, but it's not real colorful, or that's nice, but it's not growing as fast as I thought it would, that's when you fill the holes in with perennials or annuals, geraniums, petunias, marigolds, those kinds of things, and give it a lot more pizzazz and color, while the other long-term shrubs shrubs are maturing and getting to the point where they actually look like a shrub instead of just a small stick. little tiny stick sitting in my yard. What am I doing? Oh, geez, Louise. Oh, golly.
I've seen many of those.
Yeah, I have too. Trust me.
Yeah, I betcha.
Well, you know, it's almost spring out here. I mean, it's a fall spring. If I mean, it's Groundhog Day for crying out loud. I think the groundhog probably saw a shadow.
He did.
And dove back in, man.
Yeah.
It was sunny.
Got enough of this.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's six more weeks of winter. I hope not, but you never know. It's kind of weird. They're having rain in Portland almost every day.
Are they?
I got a son up there in Boring, and yeah, it's rain, yeah. So,
that is boring.
It is boring. I'd like to have some of their boring rain down here just to kind of fill up the river again. But, you know, even though it looks like spring, we're going to have some more cold days. We're going to have some more rain. You can bet on it.
Oh, yeah.
But if you're planning a vegetable garden, now, since it's kind of like this kind of good weather, now would be a good time to start the project. In other words, start thinking about how large you want it. Where do you want it? Mm-hmm. Hopefully in a sunny location, because vegetables need sun. And, you know, what are you going to need? Are you going to need some topsoil? Are you going to need some potting soil? Are you going to, you know, what type of plants? What's the ultimate size? You want something that's 10 by 10 or 10 by 20? Or do you want to do the whole backyard in this or in the front yard and be self-sufficient and sell vegetables to your neighbors? You never know.
Boy.
But but it's a good time to begin to plan to start the project. And the planning process is just kind of what I've gone through in the show so far. You know, what do we do? How do we do it? Where do we learn this? Where do we get that? There are magazines, there are books, just about in, you know, any of the box stores or in places that explain this is how you do it. This is step one. This is step two. And they got photos. They got pictures. And are we done?
We are finished.
Oh man, I got three more pages of notes.
I will.
Thanks for listening.
Save it.
I will.
All right.